Oh, there we go. Good. Okay. Oh, very good. All right. We're going to be in the book of Numbers again this morning. I did, last Sunday morning, I did preach the message for our theme for 2017. Our theme is going to be continue, and we'll be preaching from the about the theme throughout the year, but continue the things that God has put into our hearts to do. You know, continue in doctrine, continue in prayer. We talked last Sunday morning about continuing in God's love. And so we want to continue the good things that God has purposed for us to do. And of course, that means we have to discontinue some things that we should not be doing. Amen, saints? And so we're going to look at some things like that this morning, actually, in today's message from Numbers chapter 25. I'm going to read one verse from chapter 24. Read all of chapter 25 to you, which isn't that long of a chapter, and then read one or two verses from chapter 31, so we can kind of understand the context here of what's going on. You remember maybe a few weeks ago I preached a message about what's so bad about Balaam. And we talked about Balaam's poor character, his poor judgment. He was a prophet for hire. In other words, he would preach for anybody who would pay him the most amount of money, and he would preach the message that would fit the needs of the people or the agenda of the one who was paying them. And Balaam was trying to, with all that he could, curse Israel. That's what they wanted him to do, the ones who were paying him. Balak was one of the ones who were paying Balaam. They wanted Balaam to badly curse Israel, but God spoke to Balaam and said, "You can't curse Israel because I've already blessed Israel. And once God's blessing is upon us, we're not concerned about the cursings of the world or the offscouring, are we, saints?" And so we're going to consider this story is going to continue in the context again this morning. Balaam's going to be a part of it. You're not going to see his name from 25, but you'll see he's going to have a hand in what's happening here in chapter 25. So over in Numbers 24 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times." And that's a good spiritual lesson here too that we could apply to our lives. Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel, and every time Balaam tried to curse Israel, he ended up blessing Israel. Because remember this, God is in control. God is on His throne. If God determines He's going to bless someone, He will bless that someone, regardless of who's trying to cause a cursing or commotion or chaos. And so Balak is angry with Balaam because he did not follow through on this cursing. And now Numbers chapter 25, beginning of verse number 1. "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." Verse 4, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor." Verse 6 now. "And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. Verse 10, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned away my wrath from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy.
Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of the chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and a chief house of a chief house in Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor, and in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. And all God's people said, amen. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning, and just pray you'll speak to us from your word. You'll help us, and Lord, that we'll understand the text, and Lord, that more importantly, we'll be willing to apply what we learned this morning to our own walk with you. And Father, we want you to have all of the praise and all of the glory and all of the honor, Lord, because we believe that you alone are worthy of those things. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk this morning about the zeal of Phinehas. The zeal of Phinehas. And this chapter is not one of those chapters that's a delight to read, but it is in the Bible, and I believe it's in the Bible that it's relevant for us today, and we can find application here, and we can learn life lessons from the Word of God. And this story is, again, it's a difficult story to read and to understand and to comprehend, especially in our day and age, but I do believe there's some good teaching for us here today. Now, we want to remember that Balaam was the one who was involved here. I talked about in chapter 24 how Balak was so upset that Balaam was not able to curse Israel. But Balaam is going to have an idea of how to get to Israel, and he's going to try to get to them through a different way, through a different means. Not trying to curse them from the outside, but he's going to try to cause some division and some contention from the inside. And we find out in Numbers 31, we have to go forward a few pages in the Bible to get the context and understand what's happening in chapter 25. But in Numbers 31, it says in verse 15, and Moses said unto them, have ye saved all the women alive? In verse 16, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of who? Of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. That's where we are in our text. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. And we read that plague. It was a very severe plague. 24,000 people have died as a result of this plague. And we, again, were reminded in the New Testament that whenever Balaam is spoken of or referred to in our New Testament, it's always in a bad light. It's always with a negative sentiment. And I want to show you again one verse that comes to mind again for the context of today's lesson. Over in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14, Jesus is speaking to the seven churches in Asia Minor and to the church that is in a place called Pergamos. He says this, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. That was a very interesting condemnation that Jesus Christ brought against the church that was at Pergamos, because he said that within, because there hast thou there them who hold to the doctrine of Balaam. In other words, there were some people there in the church at Pergamos that were like the people of Balaam or the people of Balak, and they gave into these things, and it was causing damage in that church there. And like I said, Balaam was not able to curse Israel from the outside, and so now he's going to try a new strategy. He's going to try a new way to come in and to disrupt and to cause trouble among the people of Israel. And now he's going to cause the problem to start from within. And we always think that, well, we're a church and we are safe as long as we are all believers and we all love the Lord and all these different things, that nothing bad is going to happen within the walls of this assembly. I tell you, nay. It's very possible and it's very probable that the issues that will arise that affect and most damage Liberty Baptist Church will happen from within the congregation. No, I'm serious. It will happen from within the congregation. You know, and when that happens, and there is strife, and there is chaos, and there are people who are falling by the wayside, the damage that is done is sometimes irreparable of what happens during this time. And we have to understand that the attacks of within are a very real possibility and a very real probability. When the attacks come from without, we call that persecution. Well, what persecution generally does is it causes the gospel to spread. You go when you read the book of Acts, and when the new churches were being persecuted, they were going into the highways and the byways, and they were sharing the gospel of Christ. And the gospel was multiplying under the pressure of persecution. But when problems and troubles arise from within a congregation, it damages, it disrupts, and it has the power to destroy an assembly trying to do its best to honor and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus warned us about the possibility of dangers from within. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not" what, saints? "It shall not stand." And so if it does not stand, that means that it will fall. Somebody help me. The Apostle Paul warned the church at Ephesus in the twilight of his earthly ministry. The Apostle Paul said this, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Do you believe that Christ has purchased this church with his own blood? But Paul's saying, just watch out here. Keep an eye out. Watch for some things, because he says this, "For I know this." He's not guessing this. He's not surmising this. He says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." You know, Balaam, God told Balaam back in Numbers 22, he said, "I'm judging you because you are in a perverse way. You're in a way that is contrary to God's way. You're in the wrong way. You are on the," we could say that he's not on the king's highway, but in other words, he's on the highway to hell. He is calling on the powers of wickedness. He is swimming with the powers of darkness. And God said, "You are in a perverse way." And even Paul said, in the New Testament economy, there's an opportunity and there's a real good chance and a high probability that even within a small church like Liberty Baptist Church, that there could be those who arise and who will adapt themselves to the perverse way, a contrary way, a different way. And so again, we're warned and we are admonished by the Word of God to watch out from attacks from within. In our text this morning, over in Numbers 25, that's exactly how the attack happened. It happened from within. And it happened with the wiles of a woman. Did Pastor say it happened because of a woman? He did. What do you got against women? I don't have anything against women. I married one. Somebody help me. But I do know this. There's an allure and there's an attraction that's dangerous in the assembly of the saints. We're warned about it throughout the Scriptures, Old Testament and New, about the dangers. about the attractions, about the allurement. And, you know, As I was studying this text this week, I sat down in my office and I just took my pen in my hand and I started writing down on my yellow pad like I do every week my notes for the sermon. And I started to think about all of the men that I knew about in the ministry who were no longer in the ministry because of a woman. No. I mean, the list was so long I got discouraged. Of people I just could think of offhandedly who were no longer in the ministry because they had fallen to temptation of the opposite sex. Are you following me? Immorality is a real problem. And look at me. It's not going away anytime soon. It's going to get bigger and it's going to get thicker and it's going to be more and more dangerous as the Lord tarries is coming. I'm telling you what, we are living in perilous times. And I thought about men who were in the ministry who ran away with the church secretary. I remember one man in the ministry who he was a pastor and he ended up running away with one of the deacon's wives. I know about one man in the ministry who's a little bit older than I am, and he got caught engaging in immorality with a woman who was 17 years old. I know about men in the ministry who have written books that many of you have read and you have adhered to the teachings of these men, and the same thing is true about them. They are no longer serving the Lord in the ministry because they gave in to sexual immorality. Balaam tried to get them from the outside. He tried to curse them. Every time he tried to curse him, God ended up blessing him. And it was frustrating to Balaam, and it was frustrating to Balak. He said, let's try something else. Let's try a different method. And so what they did was they began to parade these Moabitish women in front of the people of Israel. In verse number 25, verse 1, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And as soon as they did, as soon as they dropped their standards for immorality, they also dropped their standards for worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Look at verse number 2. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. This is the first time in the Bible it's going to happen again a few more times in the history of Israel that they're going to bow down to Baal. And they bowed down to Baal because they followed the wiles. They gave into temptation. They let themselves be allured and attracted away from the things they were supposed to be attracted to. And they went after these Moabitish women. And these Moabitish women weren't even believers. They had foreign customs. They had little g gods they worshiped and sacrificed to. And it pulled the people right along the way with them. And I'm telling you what, it's true. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And I don't care how moral you think you are and how high and mighty you think you are, I'm telling you this, you take heed lest ye fall. If you allow yourself to be corrupted by evil communications, by those who defile themselves in the way, I'm telling you, it won't be long before you're following along in suit with them, following along right down of the wrong way, of the perverse way, of the way of wickedness, the way of debauchery, the way of a lost person. Somebody help me this morning. And so it's important that we keep our way and we keep our God and our focus and we keep the cross foremost in the forefront of our minds and the focus of our worship. Amen. Boy, God was mad. The Bible said the anger of the Lord was kindled in verse number 3. Look at verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, read this with me now. Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. You see what God's remedy is here for this? Get all the leaders, light them up. Cut their heads off. And then hang their decapitated heads up high in the sun
so everybody can see it as a warning. How many of you know that means God's mad? Amen. You've ever heard the term heads will roll? This is exactly what it means. And so this is what God said we need to do. We need to get people's attention. We don't need this to fire a warning shot across their bow. We need to get right into their kitchen, come right into their houses, and show them what they're doing wrong, and show them they're going the wrong way. And so Moses even says unto the children of Israel, verse 5, slay ye every one of his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And we can't really tell in the text whether any leaders' heads were hanging in the sun right now. But there's a warning here. And again, this is an admonition, and God's trying to get some attention. And God's trying to show some folks they're going the wrong way. They're going in the perverse way. They're going on the devil's highway, if you will. And I'm telling you what, we start talking about this zeal of Phinehas this morning. This zeal of Phinehas is an encouraging zeal. It's an inspiring zeal. This kind of chapter and this kind of message makes me want to get up and do something for God, to go God's way, to be God's man, to preach God's word without apology. Somebody say amen. Because it's really annoying and really irritating when you have people within the congregation who are flaunting their sin. This guy named Zimri, we find his name down in verse number 14, but here we see what he does here in verse number 6. And this ought to just turn your stomach and ought to sicken you. As a believer, as a blood-bought child of God this morning, in verse number 6, and behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This guy wasn't even concerned about hiding his behavior. He was going to flaunt it before God and country. Had himself a woman hooked on his arm, kind of walks by, look at me, kind of a smug smile on his face. What are you going to do about Moses? Walks in front of Moses. God's chosen leader. The congregation of Israel is gathered by the door of the tabernacle. They're weeping. Why are they weeping? Because people are dying all around them. 24,000 people died during this plague. You know, I imagine along with the weeping, maybe I'm reading into it a little bit, that they're praying too. And they're saying, Moses, do something. Lord, do something. And here comes this smug character. The word we use today is cocky. Strutting like a banny rooster. Look what I got on my arm. This woman from Midian. Ain't she a pretty thing? We're fixing to go into my tent. And I'm not ashamed for anybody to see it. I'm not ashamed of what I'm doing. I'm telling you, it's one thing. When you sin and you're convicted and you're ashamed of your sin, but it's a completely different world entirely when we get up and we flaunt it and say, what's God going to do about it? No, what's Pastor Hoffer going to say about it? What are the men of Liberty Baptist Church or the women of Liberty Baptist Church going to say about it? They can't stop me from doing it. It's a free country. That's so sick. It's debauched. But do you know that it goes on, even in little congregations like Liberty Baptist Church, among our, it does, ma'am. It goes on in the life of Liberty Baptist Church, and they flaunt it and say, what are you going to do about it? You can't change me. You can't reach me. You can't charge me. Amen. Preacher, amen. It's a sick world that we're living in. It's a rebellious world that we're living in. We're living in perilous times when the people of God have become heady and high-minded. It will flaunt their behavior before men. I'm so glad for a man like David who said this, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. It's kind of funny. We look at chapter 25 and it turns our stomachs. But how many of you watched that kind of stuff on TV this week? I mean, that exact thing, you watched it on TV this week. Hollywood celebrates adultery. It promotes unfaithfulness and promotes ungodliness. And we invite it into our homes week after week after week. And that's what the family setting. Now I'm going to get in your kitchen, man. Then there's the private setting. When either on your computer or on your so-called smartphone, you're bringing a lot more vile things before your eyes into your life. And it's affecting the fabric of Liberty Baptist Church. It's affecting the testimony of Liberty Baptist Church. And what this church needs and what Israel needed is a man like Phinehas, a man who was consumed with zeal. Brother Mark taught around zeal this morning in his own way. He was talking about fervency this morning. And zeal is fervency. And zeal is fire. And zeal is it's a desire to do the right thing with the right motive in the right way. And Phinehas was a man who saw what was going on and it bothered him. I want you to go down with me, please, in verse number 6. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle congregation, verse number 7. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he arose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. I want you to see this morning that Phinehas saw something, and when he saw something, it ignited the fire of zeal down deep in his soul. He was going to go take care of the matter. He was going to address the matter. And Phinehas had a pretty good lineage. He was the grandson of Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother. Aaron was the high priest, chosen of God, to serve there in the tabernacle, to coordinate the worship, and to oversee the sacrifices and the offerings on a daily basis at the tabernacle. And this young man, I think of him in my mind, as a young man, Phinehas, he was all fired up about what he saw. But excuse me, the Bible says that Moses saw it too. The Bible says the whole congregation of Israel saw it. Can I ask you a question? Do you ever see things and let them go in one eye and out the other eye? I mean, do you ever feel like there's just nothing I can do about that? I mean, I know it's not right. I know that God doesn't approve, and I really doubt that my pastor would approve. But I saw it. No, have you seen something and let it go in one eye and out the other? I know we say in one ear, out the other. I'm saying let it go in one eye and out the other and never do anything about it. I mean, never felt like you're going to be moved to action. I can tell you stories. I could exhaust the rest of the hour this morning with people who come to me, mad at me, because they saw something I didn't see. And I said, well, how could I see it? I was preaching. They are mad at me about something that happened in junior church 3 years ago. I said, do you know where I was during junior church? I was up here in the pulpit preaching the Word of God. I said, how could I have seen that? And their response was, how couldn't you have seen that? Again, I said, I wasn't there. I know that us pastors are supposed to be Spirit-filled, but Spirit-filled doesn't mean we can be in all places at one time. Somebody help me. You're still going to be right here preaching the Word of God. And it gets ridiculous how people see things and they think that I'm the only one who can take care of things. I'm so glad for a guy like Phinehas who saw something. He said, you know what? I see something. And I don't know why Moses didn't do it. I don't know why Moses didn't say anything. I don't know why Moses wasn't riled up about it. I mean, he did order the execution of the heads of the princes there, right? But he saw it. And I started thinking to myself, you know, well, Moses is starting to get a little long in the tooth. He's old now. You know, he probably didn't have the energy to get up there and take on these young bucks. Somebody help me. Sure. And then I thought about another thing. I said, well, now Moses has been told by God that he's under God's judgment and he won't be able to go into the promised land. And I wonder if that pulled a little bit of wind out of Moses' sails. Didn't have the same fire he used to have. That same zealousness that he used to have. But no, no, no. But what's our excuse? Why aren't we as zealous as we used to be? Why aren't, I mean, it wasn't that long ago when we were fired up about what the Supreme Court has said about gay marriage. And it hadn't been that long, has it? And now, we're asking, well, why can't this church be welcoming and affirming in married gays? Remember when you had zeal? No, no, no. Do you remember when you had zeal? Well, what happened to it? Because you saw something, you heard something. I know this is not that encouraging message we had last Sunday. Hey, that's last Sunday. Get the tape, amen. This is this Sunday. This is what the Word of God has today. We need the zeal of Phineas to rise up in the midst of Liberty Baptist Church. Amen? I've always been grateful for those who have the spiritual gift of snitching. They're my eyes and ears. They come and tell me when things are going. I don't know. How can I possibly know? You know, but when they tell me something, then I expect they want me to do something. Help me. Right? All right. Now, verse 7. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. Not only did he see something, he did something. This is where he started to get a little bit fired up. Because this guy, he's on a mission right here. And what he's going to do, I do not condone, okay? I don't think we should have people rising up in their congregation spearing other people. Somebody help me. Not a good idea. But he did. And it was the Old Testament economy, different time. Oh, it's okay. But here, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it. He rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand and went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. I tell you, some of these stories we read in the Old Testament, they're hard for our minds to wrap around, aren't they? It's hard for us to consume them, but Phinehas saw something. He knew what he saw was not of God. He knew what he saw was a man who was flaunting his sin before God and country. Amen. And he knew it wasn't right. He also knew this, that the congregation was weeping and praying at the door of the tabernacle because people were dying left and right. 24,000 are going to die by the time his plague is over. And so he went in and he did what he considered to be the best course of action. He took both the life of Zimri and the life of Cozbi. Killed them both. You know, and it's like, okay, Pastor, are you asking me? No, I'm not asking you to do that. Okay, I'm not. Nor do I condone the bombing of abortion clinics. I think that's cowardly. I do. I think all this violence that was done in the name of Christianity from the beginning is wrong in most cases. And we don't need to be getting more violence in our nation today. Somebody say amen. But when he saw something, he did something. And that's where our Christianity, our faith, that's where the rubber meets the road. We have a lot of see-something Christians, but not very many do-something Christians. Because, hey, let's just admit it. We are a beaten, beleaguered people. You know, again, this year, 2016, Christianity was the number one persecuted religion in the world. Again. Okay? And it's getting worse and worse worldwide. I don't think it's that bad in America. Maybe you do. I don't think it's that bad in America. We're losing some religious liberty, but we still have the freedom to come together and meet whenever we want to. And pretty much we can say whatever we want to, too. It's not too bad of a deal. Somebody say amen to that. But we got to see something and then be willing to do something. Like when, a long time ago, my son was, I mean, he was a rebellious teen. I've told you the story time and time again. But he still had some ethic and some moral about him. And he saw one of the other young men of our church getting into trouble. He knew that what he was going to do was going to be a wrong decision for this young man to do. And so he told me about it. And I thanked him for telling me. And I said, I'm going to tell his dad about it. And his dad thanked me for telling him about it. And he disrupted that meet up, if you will. And I thought to myself, there's a good chance that Marcus telling me to tell this man what was going on in his home, it probably prevented this young man from missing out on God's choice for him and settling for the devil's leftovers. Amen. And I've always said this, if the dad won't tell anything, won't say anything about it, I'll tell the mother. She will. Because I'm telling you what, I have learned that in Christianity, we don't have a whole lot of Phineases any longer, but we've got a good number of Phineasettes. Amen. Who see something and they act on it. And God bless them for doing that. I remember that one video of that young man who was out there protesting when the Black Lives Matter thing. Mama caught wind of it in Baltimore. Mama caught wind of it. Saw it on Facebook Live or something like that. Went down there and took that young man home by his ear and whipped the fire out of him. You know, she kind of went off on him a little bit. That's what mamas will do. They take action. We could use some daddies taking action too. Amen. When they see something, they do something or at least say something. No. Like say something about the way your daughter's about to leave the house, the way she's dressed. No, say something. Maybe you ought to say something to your wives too about things of that nature. No. Say something. And some parents saying something. And some Christian brothers saying something. And some Christian sisters saying something to prevent our young people from going down a road of heartache and trouble and trial and struggle. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The way of the transgressor is hard. We don't want to see him go through hard things, hard times, hard life. You know, when my grandkids fall down and they bump their heads, I always tell them, I said, a knock on your head builds character. I always tell them that. Then they end up laughing at me after a little while. But I'm telling you what, enough knocks on their head, it'll knock them silly. Enough knocks on their head, it'll sear their conscience. Can somebody help me? And tell you what, once a conscience has become seared, that person becomes very difficult to reach and to change. I know from experience. Amen, preacher, you're right on this morning. Phineas rose up. He saw something. He did something. And Mike, if you could advance to the last slide there. He prevented something. He prevented something. You know, sometimes we think about, well, if I do something, what are the consequences going to be? Well, let me ask you a question. If you don't do something, what could the consequences be? It's a two-edged sword, isn't it? So look what it says here. Verse number 8, the very last sentence. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 20,000 and 4,000. It kind of gives you the idea that more could have died. Verse number 10, look at this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest. Oh, look at these next four words very carefully. Hath turned my wrath away. hath turned my wrath away. Did you read that? Hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was jealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. And then God goes on and gives him a promise here. He said, look at verse number 12. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. I want you to think about this. If you'll have the boldness to intervene in a Christian's life who's going the wrong way, you might lose a friend, but you might prevent that friend from experiencing the severe judgment and chastening of God. I don't know if you've ever felt that heavy hand of God upon your life, upon your soul. Let me just tell you, it's not any fun. For me, I remember being the most miserable time in my Christian existence when God was pressing hard down upon me. What if you intervened and say, brother, let me pray with you. Let me take this sword and show you where you're going the wrong direction. Let me show you how you can get right on the right track again. Let me show you how you can prevent some heartache and misery in your near future if you simply listen to the Word of God. If you simply let me pray with you and put my arm around you in Christian fellowship and encouragement and show you you're going the wrong way, because I hate to see the judgment and chastisement of God come upon you right now. I've dealt with so many in the ministry, it's not mine, it's God's, the ministry of young Christians who are on fire and they're excited. And then something tragic and something tough and something terrible happens in their life. And all of a sudden their fire and their zeal, it kind of goes away. And many times, and it's heartbreaking, they won't even go to church again. No, they tried God, but God didn't work. But I can almost always point back to a decision they've made, a path that they took, that they were going away from God, and someone tried to stop them, but they weren't going to listen. They were going to do their thing. They were headstrong. They were heady. They were high-minded. We could have been better Phineases and Phineasettes. Amen. If you would just simply see some things and do some things, maybe God would allow us to prevent some things by His grace and mercy. Amen. Amen. I mean, I always want Liberty Baptist Church to be here in Prescott as a lighthouse, preaching the Word of God without apology. You know, I can't guarantee we'll always be on the corner of Yampa Drive and Williamson Valley Road, but we are right now. And I think to myself, even after I'm dead and gone, if there'd be somebody here, pick up the mantle, preaching it straight, giving it to the saints time and time again, because this is the stuff that grows you. This changes you. This is the attention-getting kind of preaching we need in the 21st century. You know, we're so convinced that... You know, I hope you're not disappointed when Donald Trump doesn't change America overnight. I'm just going to let you know, okay? I mean, even though we've got Trump and we've got supposedly a Republican Congress and Senate, don't expect that's going to change America overnight. If you want to see America changed, give them the Word of God. Preach the gospel. See their souls saved by the grace and goodness of God. That's what's going to change America. That's what's going to change our direction. We need some Phineases to rise up, to speak up, to act up. Amen. I'm good at acting up. I do that real well. Somebody help me there this morning, but amen. But to act on what they see and to do what they know is right according to the Word of God, the will of God, and the way of God. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you for this little story tucked away, the book of Numbers, Lord, doesn't get read like a lot of the books do. Doesn't get preached like a lot of the books do. Lord, the Lord, there sure was a story here today. And Lord, I may not have told it as well as I could have or should have. And I may not have applied it as well as I may have. But Lord, you can. Your Spirit is so much greater than me and so much stronger than me and speaks so much louder than I do. And Lord, if this has hit someone today in a special way, given them a cause, given them a reason, Lord, I pray you'll give them the boldness to follow through, to act on what you have said, to act on what they have seen, to act on what they know to do that is according to your will. Father, again, thank you for the word and for what it means to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.